David, thank you so much for joining us.
Morning, Ruby.
Now, to start off, sports are no longer regional, really, but rather global. It's like a virtual nation with people from across the globe supporting a player or a team or who are playing. It's not something that one would think about normally, but if we actually think about it, it's kind of phenomenal. So how do you view this culture that has developed over the years?
Yeah, I think, there's an important distinction really to make. Sport, I think, is now global as an institution, as a set of practices and an area of fun and all that. Individual sports are not necessarily global. So some are more global than others. So, we talk about association football, known often as soccer, in Australia. That is called the World Game. That's the most far-reaching of all sports. Whereas others, lacrosse, say, less so. But I think it's fair to say that the whole world has embraced some element of sports culture, and that's actually a comparatively recent development. It's of the last couple of hundred years.
Absolutely, and I mean. What do you think about the role of media and technology in kind of creating this global sporting culture?
Excuse me one sec.
No, it's all good.
I just took a swig of tea and it was at the wrong time. The media is absolutely crucial to the development of sport. I've written about this rather a lot. In fact, most of my work on sport is about its relationship with the media. If you consider, if you go to a sports event, it's limited. There can only be a relatively small number of the world's population, proportion of the world's population, in that space at that time, live, I was there, all that kind of thing. So the media have been crucial in a variety of ways. The first was just to tell you the results. If you're on one part of the country and you want to know which team won, you'd find out 3-0 or whatever. And you'd only find that out from the media, from newspapers, and then later the broadcast media. But the really big breakthrough, the most important, of course, was the development of television and the sense of having been there produced by live television. This is the global village that you were describing in your intro. And that is the moment at which you could say much of the world's population is able to access the same event two-dimensionally, albeit, but at the same time as if we were all in the same space.
Absolutely. I mean, with a personal example, when France was first seeing Croatia in the soccer grand final, I think it was last year. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it was last year.
Yeah, the FIFA World Cup. Yeah.
Yeah. And
2 years ago. Yeah.
2 years ago. Sorry. Yep. Pardon me. My half of my family is Croatian. The other half Scottish. But we went to the Punch Bowl Croatian club because it was the only Croatian club left in the area that wasn't full, and just having these crowds and crowds of people all coming together to watch that game, and it was happening all over the world as well. Like this kind of camaraderie that comes with sports, it's kind of not like really any other.
Yeah, experience. Yeah, I would say that. By the way, that I was also watching that event, and I was very sad because I support England and we've been beaten by Croatia. So I was kind of weeping during that event. But I think what you've just highlighted, though, is one of the great paradoxes of sport. Which is, you say, it brings everyone together, but it also marked out your Croatianness, your connection to the Croatian side of your your family and so on. So, what sport always does, because it is competitive, competition is inscribed within the culture of sport. No competition, no sport, really.
Yeah.
So it also creates divisions at the same time as it unites people in pursuit of the same cultural practice. So that, I think, is the great paradox, that sport runs off this idea of uniting and dividing. That's what supporting a team means, for example.
Right, of course. And now in recent time, the Women's T20 World Cup has been garnering a lot of attention and reception. And rather than viewing it as another tournament, its influence and impact has been much deeper and meaningful. So how different is the culture associated with women's sports as compared to men's sports? Do you think that the situation is changing along with time?
It is. And there's no doubt that sport, like many other major institutions, has been male-dominated. It's historically male-dominated. Indeed, I would argue that as elements of masculinity were beleaguered by feminism, women rightly demanded equality with men, some men retreated into sport, as the kind of last bastion of masculinity. This is an area where we're faster and stronger and more exciting and more aggressive than women. And you can see elements of that, because there's tremendous resistance to, say, putting women sport on television, because they said nobody would want to watch it. Why it would be like watching some second-rate team? Why don't we watch the best? That kind of thing. Now, women have chipped away and pushed down doors and so on, and we've got to where we are at the moment. So, great advances in the football codes and in cricket in particular. And I mean, I just noticed yesterday I caught the radio a bit, and then I thought, oh yes, the T20 is on, and had it on in the background, and then I found myself drawn to the spectacle. Rather good game, actually. And
absolutely.
It was Australia only narrowly won. Now, what were the chances of me, a few years ago, watching live-to-air international women's sport? Small.
Well, that's
so there's been a great advance. And let's not exaggerate. It's coming off a pretty low base. Let's talk about, for example, how much women get paid for in most sports, apart from say tennis and golf, the individual sports. But in team sports, they're generally way behind. So there's a long way to go. But there's no doubt there's been a real advance in women's sport in recent years.
Yeah, and the viewer base and ratings are only on the up and up at the moment as well, which is fantastic. So while the internet and television have helped in providing a platform for global viewers, the craze associated with watching sports live, of course, is still intact. Tickets get sold in a few hours for most sporting events across the world. So how come the internet has not completely outlasted the experience of that of a stadium?
Yeah, it's a little bit like, it was once said that television would destroy radio, or that television would destroy the experience of going to the cinema. Lots of predictions are made that one development will inevitably lead, killing something off. No one will read books anymore or anything like that. I think with the live event in particular, my original research was actually in rock music, not in sport. So, there are many parallels between music and sport. And going to a gig is a very different experience than putting on, a CD or, streaming some music. So there is that sense. I could use a technical term like the cultural capital that accrues to actually being there, to having said, okay, you watch it on television, but I was there. I mean, I remember I was there in the Sydney 2000 Olympics when Cathy Freeman won the 400 metres. And I was there, and I can tell people I was there, and I've got one up on most people in the world because lots of people were watching on television. In other words, you get something special a special side of the experience, but also it's rationed. Once you ration something, there are only a limited number of places, of course it becomes more valuable and you value it more.
Absolutely. Well, David, thank you so, so much for joining us on the show. It's been great talking about this.
Good. Thanks very much, Ruby. I've really enjoyed it.